Welcome back, everybody, to a what I'm going to call it a special edition of the Enterprise Dish. And you'll see why here. And this shouldn't come as a big surprise for longtime listeners. But Rick is traveling. Who ever would have guessed that? Rick, where are you? What are you doing?
Well, you know, you have caught me in the hotel room before.
Yes, so that is true.
And it was like 5 a.m. West Coast time. But today I'm flying out to Boston from the Columbus, Ohio airport. And it's kind of funny. Actually, you can kind of see it. I'm in this like secret area where like, in fact, all of my local people don't even know about this place. But trust me, I'm allowed to be here, first of all.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're allowed to be there?
Yeah, nothing beeped. And there's nobody running after me.
All right.
But no, I found a little nook here that's a nice quiet spot to work. There's no one on this floor. I've got my own bathrooms, actually two of them. And we've got chairs, tables, and no one to bug me. So, it's when I need to get to the airport and work before I go, I found that absent of like an airline lounge, you got to have a little space that you go to. And it's even better if nobody knows it's there. So that's where I'm at.
Very, very cool. And so when Rick told me he was going to be in an airport, candidly, I was a little nervous, because you never know what you're going to get, especially hotel or airport Wi-Fi. But this, you've got a nook.
I've got the nook, and no one's competing for this Wi-Fi. And I mean, it kind of reminds me a lot of like the terminal, right? You know,
all
the little places you can find. I'm looking inside of an office door that's open up here. I see a photocopier. I see some postings about labor laws and stuff for some employee break area or something like that. So I love my nook, and that helps me be productive when I'm on the road and have to take a call or delete all my email or other things.
That kind of brings us to a couple topics for the day. Nicely segued. Nicely done. So you were talking about right before we started this that you just stayed in your normal routine. Because you're at the airport a little bit early, obviously, because we're doing this podcast. But let's just talk about that, because there's a lot of business travelers in the world. And I would love to know how you cope with just normal everyday, because the business doesn't stop just because you got to get on a plane.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And this is interesting, because this particular travel matter, this trip for me, this is my team meeting. So everyone in the Veeam product strategy team is meeting up. And they were previous guests on the Dish when we were at Veeam On. So some of them have been through the ringer here. But my rule is I have to be productive on the road, and I ask the same of that from my team. So whether it's finding the time to, you know, focus on email, calls, and other deliverables, that's really the hardest part, because everything else does indeed go on. So I, for this 12:30 flight or whatever it is, I dropped my kid off at school, and then I head over to the airport. And really from, I don't know, 9 till 12, I'm going to have like 3 hours, 2.5, because I did get a coffee, a good chunk of time to really rock out and not get behind. Because if you think about 2 hours, 3 hours of uninterrupted access, minus this podcast, time to focus on your email, you really can make sure you're not going to get behind.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by keeping the routine, because what I don't want to do is lollygag around the house until it's time to go.
Right.
Now, that would be different if it was like a Sunday or Saturday where I have to go through the weekend. That's what I'm going to do. But I got to get the kids to school, or, you know, that type of morning routine I'm going to preserve, because I need this time to be productive. And then tomorrow and the next day through this trip, the trick that I do to maintain productivity is always get up 1 or 2 hours earlier than you need to. Mm-hmm. Again, that 1 or 2 hours of time to, you know, on a good day, I leave my work with the inbox zero. Okay, maybe I'm a little bit crazy like that, but I'm not quite there right now. So that's another thing. I want to make sure that the to-dos are not sitting there in the inbox. So
sure.
A good hour every day will really help email kind of be kept up to date, so that whatever you're actually doing is manageable through your trip and otherwise. So from a time management trick and tip perspective, it's always around making the time for everything else, because I don't believe, and I don't use out of the office auto replies, because it doesn't change people's expectations, in my opinion. But when you think about just staying on top of your game, and I hate to say it, even on vacation, I'll do the same thing. I might do a little bit less than an hour, because I just take the time that my wife gets ready.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I get some time.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So that's the time management side of it.
So, which leads to the question of the day. Everybody goes on vacation. Everybody travels. Some people work in large offices where there's redundancy when they're out. There's other offices where, you know, it's a one-man shop. What are your tips, or if you have any tools or things that you use when you are out of the office, and let's put it lightly, it hits the fan back home, right? The server goes down, the network's down, and you got a remote triage. What are your, you know, what's your tips and advice or tools that you use, or how do you overcome those challenges? Because it's a very real thing. Business, again, doesn't stop just because you're in an airport. And so how do you deal with those things?
So I'm going to give you two answers. One is the home technology answer, which I think everybody can relate to. And the other will be the work matters. So let's start with the home technology. The important thing to note with home technology is make it simple. I have a home lab that has a file server, domain controller, mm-hmm. you know, content filter, and all kinds of good stuff. And I have reasons that we need all of that stuff. Like, for example, paying the nanny. We have nanny software, payroll data. I need to treat it like a small business, really, even though it's the home network. So the one thing I did, of course, back it up very well. That's something Beam can help me with. But the other thing I did was make it so it's just a power on, straight go. Meaning if power goes off, or if there's some troubleshooting needed, powering things on, like as simple as VMware and Hyper-V, automatic power on a virtual machine's in the right sequence. Little mm-hmm. things like that make it really easy to tell my daughter or my son, who's 5, to push the button and push it again. You know, they can handle that. So home technology, and same thing over on the Wi-Fi, just power phase the Wi-Fi router, whatever. And then the other kind of side trick is I put my cable modem or my router, whatever, all the equipment from my mm-hmm. cable company that provides my home broadband internet, as well as the server and the Wi-Fi. All three of those things are on separate UPSs for battery backup. So little power blips are not an issue for those types of equipment. So that's an area that can really help you. On the work side, one of the things I did a couple of years ago, and the funny thing is this is going to be advice, but I've never done it, and I'll explain why.
Yeah.
My team of technologists, there's 9 of us worldwide on this team, and we use a lab, and the lab's here in Columbus, Ohio, and my team is global. We've got 9 on the team, only 2 of them are in Columbus, Ohio. So the lab's here. I'm frequently not here. This week's a great example because I'm gone, and what if something does come up? So one of the things I did with where we put our actual infrastructure, aside from our cloud footprint, which is growing every day. But for the traditional IT infrastructure, one of the things we've done that I think really helps it become more resilient is we put it in a colo. And the colo service, and this is pretty common across these colos, but you can open a ticket with them to provide hands on the actual equipment. So if you're gone, they will have 24/7 resources available mm-hmm. to walk over, and if it's power on or what light is red, is something powered off, or move a cable. They can do that. You'd have to walk them through it on the phone. But that's a service that's available with most of those colocation service providers. So I've never had to use it, but the takeaway here, Brad, it's been a very big peace of mind mm-hmm. for me and my team. So I think that's something to consider as a pretty cool pro tip.
Yeah, that is. And it's, this weekend was interesting in my house. I experimented with Docker for the first time, which I know the technologies, but I don't have an infrastructure, all that stuff. And so I'm a big home automation nerd for whatever reason, mostly because I don't enjoy things working correctly. And so the high level is on iOS, there's an app called HomeKit, which is all of Apple's stuff. And then Google has a whole suite of products called Nest. And as you can imagine, they don't work all that well together because one's Google, one's Apple. Well, there's a hack, if you want to call it, called HomeBridge, which effectively allows you to spoof HomeKit stuff on Apple's side. So I set up, I bought a Raspberry Pi, I installed Docker, and then I installed HomeBridge inside of the Docker container. And the reason why I did that, and I think that this is the smart part, is that, and this took me a while because I'm, again, very much a Docker noob, was I set up that Docker container instance that if the power trips, that on boot, it restarts itself.
Fair. Good thinking.
Yeah, so that way, if I'm out of the house or whatever, that Raspberry Pi should be, knock on wood, should be self-sufficient. The power trips, it restarts itself, goes, oh, I should be running this instance. It fires Homebridge back up and everything just works.
Yeah, well, that's great. Good luck.
Yeah, it's good. Exactly. We'll see how
well. You know, that's the thing. Automation, home's a great way to fiddle and learn with that.
Yep.
Myself, you know, I've got a couple thermostats, which are nice because the thermostats will email me if the power went out. I don't have the thermostats on a battery, mm-hmm. but I could have a power blip with the IT equipment kind of kept up. But the thermostats, if they go out of power, the thermostat controller loses power and that'll notify me. So
yep.
I kind of have this half and half automation and notification side of it. But it's pretty interesting. I actually would love to do like a new build of a house or a building, a workplace, a total mm-hmm. smart building. It could be incredible.
Oh, almost. Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, I saw that they come out with now, and this is going to be a bit very common in larger buildings, is they now sell the breakers that go in the breaker boxes that are connected, smart connectors. So,
like a manageable remote switch, basically.
Yeah. So,
cool.
In theory, what you could have is that breaker could flip. And if you're remoting like this, you'd be like, oh my God, breaker 13 flipped. There was a power thing. You could, in theory,
reset it
as long as there's not some major catastrophe. You know, if somebody plugged in too many heater cores or space heaters into a rack or whatever, and it tripped it, you can tell them to unplug it. Then you, in theory, could remotely flip it, which would, God, it's an interesting idea.
Well, it's the smart switches on, you know, unit switches and smart outlets have been out for a while. So why not extend it to the breaker? So, yeah, that's cool. I never really thought about that, but yeah, that's the IoT really taking off for sure.
Yeah, it'll be it's just adding more points of failure to your life. But you know, it's they can be super convenient when they work.
Indeed.
Well, Rick, I want to be cognizant of your time because obviously you're in an airport and you've got flights here coming up. You got anything else for us today? What's going on in the Veeam world? What's going on in the Rick world? Before we wrap it up.
You know, the big thing, since we spoke last, we had that big Veeam release of 9.5 Update 4. This has been the most adopted release ever.
Wow.
You know, I think people really want to put their backups in Azure, and they really want to put their backups in Amazon. So mm-hmm. We don't quite have the consumption report just yet that shows me a full month, but I'm pretty sure it's going to blow up in a good way, blow up in terms of its overall consumption. But, you know, a lot of great, you know, momentum off of that. And then we're scheming some new stuff. We just launched a big beta for Veeam Backup for Microsoft Office 365 version 3.
Nice.
In fact, that's a public beta. That's a first for us.
Hmm.
Well, we've done it for other products. It's a first for this product, mm-hmm. and it's generally rare for Veeam to do a public beta. But I did tweet it a couple tweets ago if anybody wants to see. I kind of put a joke. I had to check. It's like, is it really public? Let me try it with my mom's account. And it worked with my mom's account. So it is indeed a public beta for Office 365 backup.
Well, if it works with that account, it's going to work with everything.
Indeed. Well, no, that's about it. You know, we got a big year coming. So, you know, the noise on Twitter would be the place to see that for sure.
Yeah. Or you can come hang out with us at Veeam World.
Or
Veeam
World.
Veeam on. I can find it. I can find it. VM World.
I signed to that. Veeam World. I can do that.
Yeah. That V. I don't know. I was like, I said it and I was like, that's not right. I got Veeam and then it's not World. It's on. It's Veeam on, which is happening in Miami in the month of May. And we'll both be there.
You're lucky, Brad. I didn't introduce myself as Rick Veeamover. I've done that before.
Well, you know, sometimes it's in the blood and sometimes it's in your last name.
Well, then they asked if I was a founder, and I kind of just went down, and I'm like, oh, no, it's not like that. That was an error, just a guy, so.
You know, there are worse mistakes to make than that.
True.
That is, that's one of those flattering mistakes that people just know that you like what you do.
Indeed.
All right, Rick. Well, you have a safe journey, and we'll be catching up with you next month to see how everything else is going. For everybody else, don't forget to subscribe and do all the good stuff. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you right back here next time on the Enterprise Dish.